This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? SportsCenter Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And it is July the 20th, 2021. The show that you have fallen in love with is DCR. Take you all the way up till 8 o'clock this morning, every weekday morning. And that's when KJZ takes over. It was a late one. It was a late, long, high-scoring, dramatic Mets game. And thankfully, they came away with a very exciting and poorly played victory over the Cincinnati Reds. And let's get right into it. Yankees starting a set against the Phillies. NBA Finals tonight. Saquon Barkley is speaking. Lot to get into today. CMT, of course, on the Tuesday. Rick is going to run it because we've gotten rid of the way that RJ so poorly did it. And we say good morning to the guys and good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. I will say this, though. Listening to RJ this morning after a nice long 2.5 hour nap and some rest last night, voice is back. He could do a CMT if we asked him to, I think.
Today. No. The people have spoken. The people are clamoring for you to do CMT. The ratings, I believe, prove higher when you do CMT. You will be running point on CMT, not sloughing off your responsibilities to someone else.
No, I'm not sloughing. I mean, we just found out that RJ speaks different languages. Maybe he does CMT in a different language today.
I've done what I came to done.
True. It feels like you haven't really mastered the English language. I do like what you're bringing up there. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. I would ask how you're doing, but that's not what I want to know from you. I want to know who you're rooting for tonight, the Phils or the Yankees.
It's not easy. But it's not. But I'm rooting for the Yankees tonight. I will tell you this. If the Mets had a 6-game lead over the Phillies, I would root for the Phillies. But it's too narrow and they're too banged up. I will root for the Yankees tonight. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to root for the Yankees because your team has shown that you really can't have enough margin for error based on the way that they're playing baseball right now, especially on the defensive side. Like, that's – defensive pitching is going to be a struggle right now for the Mets. They really are. Like, starting pitching and defense, they're going to have to figure something out because last night, if that's any indicator of what you're going to get for the foreseeable future – it's going to be tough to hold on to that lead.
Yeah, I don't think defense is going to be the issue. I mean, this team has been great defensively. Guillorme's, I mean, one of the most sure-handed defenders on the team.
Phenomenal. I didn't see anything like that.
Lindor's absence is going to matter on the defensive side. Like, him having that oblique strain, that's going to play a role. Like, the defense is not going to be as good as we've seen it with him out of the lineup. There's no question about that.
I'm more concerned that, to be honest, I'm more concerned about McNeil's defense at second than I am Guillorme consistently.
Well, I agree with that. But Chris also touched on the starting pitching, and that's a real problem. Although I didn't think Eichhoff was awful last night. Like, he was okay.
No, he was fine. I mean, if his defense didn't betray him last night, I mean, he gave you what you would expect from him. The problem is you don't have high expectations for him.
Right.
I mean, Stroman hasn't been great, right? You had the stinker from Walker, which put a ton of extra work on your bullpen. I mean, your bullpen, you go 8 2/3 the night before and then have what happened last night in up and down. I'm in, I'm out. I mean, in all honesty, when you look at what Guillorme and then McNeil, I mean, it's that game legitimately should have been 3-1 Mets after two.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead,
easy double play balls were hit, and they butchered them. And I've never seen anybody do what Guillorme was doing. Like, not only was he making the errors, but he also did it on the first error, the one that he tried to flip at the second to McNeil.
Mm-hmm. Try to roll it.
He tried to bat it to second base, and then the next time he did bat it to third base, and it went past third. Like, I don't know. That was some of the worst defense I've ever seen in my life last night.
Did everyone do that? Yeah, unfortunately, everyone was dozing that last night. I mean, four errors in the first two innings is not going to get it done. But, I mean, here's the thing. The starting pitching is a huge question now moving forward with the DeGrom injury and everything else. But, I mean, it's time for the offense to do what everyone expected it to do.
And they did.
And last night they did, and especially Conforto. I mean, there was obviously some negatives last night. I mean, there's some interesting moves. The fact that you pitched to Winker in that spot was an interesting decision.
The fact
decision.
That Diaz blew a save opportunity.
That's
three in a row. That's a humongous
problem. Which, surprisingly, is the first time he's ever blown three games in a row.
Yeah, but he didn't have a support guy at short form.
Right.
If only
he had a guy that could come to the mound and, you know, make him feel better, ease the tension, all that kind of stuff, he'd be much better. But he doesn't have Lindor.
He doesn't have Lindor there.
Mm-mm.
Although, I mean, I said it yesterday, maybe Lindor's going to start doing mound visits, so he blows another save. But, I mean, Conforto getting hot at the right time is huge for us. It's huge. I mean, because he's been a non-factor. The first half of the season, he was between how he started, then the injury, he was a non-factor. And now, I mean, you've seen what he's done over the last... He's got five home runs in his last four games, which is huge, three in his last two. I mean, he's a big... Like, Dave, he's good enough. Michael Conforto is good enough to carry a lineup. And, you know, without Lindor for an extended period of time, I mean, offensively, defensively, I mean, that's a big missing piece. So someone's going to have to step up. And hopefully this is where Michael Conforto starts to get hot consistently here.
But that's supposed to be how it works, though, right? I mean, it's a team game. So you're talking about when certain areas of your team are going to struggle, then the other areas have to pick up the slack. And you guys mentioned it earlier. I mean, it's about time for this Mets offense to step up because based on what we've seen from them in the first half, they have not performed up to the expectations that everybody had for them coming into the season. But last night, hitting a season high, seven home runs, I mean, in the fashion that they won that game with McCann with that late go-ahead bomb and then Pilar, what he did, and then Conforto tacking on an insurance solo home run after that, like that's what you know the Mets offense is capable of when you got everybody in the lineup healthy. And so even though you don't have Lindor, which is a huge missing piece, like you do have a lot of guys that can hit with some slug, and last night they showed it. That's exactly what you're going to need moving forward to try to overcome some of the deficiencies that your team's having right now based on injuries.
Look, I have real concerns about this team now. And by the way, the phone lines are open on the Mets, 800-919-3776. Concerns, where you are, the state of the Mets, no DeGrom, Lindor going to be out for a considerable amount of time. But I will say this, as bad as they were last night, and they were, I mean, defensively horrendous, Diaz blows the game again, that was a gut check game. I mean, you're down 7-3. You have a 3-0 lead before anything even happens. That lead is gone immediately. You have to rely on the bullpen. You could have easily fallen apart and lost that game. So I do give them a, your manager's not there. Your best, you know, defensive player at short's not there. You know you don't have DeGrom. The bullpen is certainly worn down. To go out there and win that game the way they did, I give them a lot of credit for that, as badly as they played last night.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not sustainable.
No, it's not.
It's not sustainable. I mean, it's a... The start tonight for Carrasco was huge. His last rehab start. Hopefully, fingers crossed, all things go well. And
yeah, he does well tonight. He'll be with the Mets, you know, end of the weekend, early next week.
Yeah, next scheduled start will be with the Mets.
Yep, with the
which
Mets.
Is, I mean, right at the right time. Because, I mean, Tylor Megill has been a godsend what he's been able to do. But, I mean, there's real concerns right now about your starting pitching staff, especially here in the second half. I mean, let's not forget, we came off a 60-game season last year. So even if your starting staff was fully healthy, it was going to be a struggle to get them through the 162. Like, you're going to have to, you know, mix and match and kind of piece this thing together down the stretch. And now, because, you know, we're in a situation with no DeGrom and Carrasco's not back yet, we got a couple, you know, TBDs as far as starting pitching, is that's putting a lot of stress on your bullpen right now. A lot of stress on
and
your
look
bullpen.
And look, they needed to get 26 outs on Sunday. They had to pitch how many innings last night? Six innings last night during that game? Now you have Robert Stock on the mound tonight.
Ugh.
So what are you going to need from them tonight? So last night was huge because you feel it dwindling. Like, you know when a team is falling apart and you feel the boat is taking on water? And I hate to say it, Rick.
I'm a boater.
Yes, I am a boater. Isn't that quite what it feels like right now? That they're just kind of hemorrhaging?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is they're going through some adversity. But this team is the one thing you love about this team. Is how resilient they are. I had to double check last night because, I mean, of course, with the whole Spotrac incident yesterday, of course, I'm double checking. But so I see this. Buster only retweeted this yesterday. So Baseball Reference had its National League postseason odds. The Phillies have a 45.5% chance to make the playoffs, followed by the Braves and then the Mets. I was like, what?
That's accurate?
Before last night's game. Yeah, before last night's game, they had the Braves at 45.5. They had, they had the Phillies at 45.5, the Braves at almost 26%, and the Mets were 18% to make the postseason.
That's absurd.
Absurd. I mean, it got readjusted after last night's win. Mm-hmm. The Mets are up now to 25%. But yep. They still have the Phillies winning the division.
So the win from last night gave them a 7% increased chance to win the division? Or to get to the playoffs?
To get to the playoffs. They have the Phillies winning the division. With a 40% chance to win the division.
All right, so let me ask you this. Right now, you got to put money on the Mets or the Phillies to win the division. Where are you going?
I would put it on the Mets.
I absolutely would as well. Chris?
You know I'm staying with the Mets. That was my preseason prediction.
I mean, we're 11 days away from the trade deadline. I'm assuming that they're going to make moves. And I'll tell you another thing. Can
Steve
the owner
Cohen.
Stop?
I know. I was just going to say that.
Can you? It's not that funny all the time. I don't find it adorable. And I know that he finds it funny in his constant tweets. And should we make a trade right now? How many runs do you think it's going to take to win this game? If you win it, I can tolerate it. When you're losing games and you're doing this, I find it very unsettling. And to be honest with you, very annoying.
No, if you lost that game last night after what happened on Saturday against Pittsburgh, and then, I mean, what should have happened again on Sunday against Pittsburgh, and then like you mentioned it to start the show, I mean, it's an early 3-0 lead, 3-0 lead for us. We got Eichhoff on the mound. Like, okay, this is exactly what you want. He's got an early lead, got to settle in, and then before you know it, the four errors, there's 7 runs on the board. And it's like, uh-oh, here we go. Another loss, and they, I give credit, they find a way to come back. I mean, if you don't love Kevin Pillar, I don't know as a Mets fan what you're watching, because that dude is, I love that guy.
He's reckless, huh?
Oh, he's reckless, big hits. I mean, you could just tell emotionally.
I forget, it was late in the game and he went flying into the wall down the left field line, and Gary Cohen's like, we're hoping he was okay. We don't see him at the moment.
Well, yeah, but remember that when Diaz gave up that Stallings grand slam, he dove into the...
Oh my!
Into the crowd to try to catch it.
He would have done whatever it took to try to catch that baseball.
Whatever it would have taken, and you could tell like he's kind of like that. He's a big time.
He's a kamikaze. That's what he is.
Yeah, I love
getting
kamikaze.
Hit in the face.
Yeah, right in the face, square in the nose, broken nose.
Can't wait to get back to play.
So I mean, this team feels like it has something special going on. And in the same breath, saying that, I also agree with you, Dave. Where it's starting to feel like it's hemorrhaging a little bit. So to have
I'm
the owner
very
like.
Upset.
You know, why make a move now and pay through the nose when we could wait? Because I see what I see with my eyes. And right now, it's right around the corner, but it doesn't feel like you can wait right now at the moment with what's happening with this team.
It's 11 days. It was a great win. Kevin Pillar, we just discussed him. Here he is on just another really signature win for this baseball team.
I keep using the quote that we're built for this, and I think that today was a perfect example. We went through every single guy on the bench. I was the last guy off the bench. You know, we had two new pitchers brought up today. We had some guys in the bullpen that were unavailable because they had to cover so many innings yesterday, and no one flinched. You know, we didn't play very good baseball early on. We shot ourselves in the foot, but we pick each other up. Guys that made mistakes in the field came up, contributed in the when their turn came up in the lineup. You know, no one pointed fingers. You know, I was sitting in here listening to Jared talk. He's very humble in what he had to say, but he threw the ball really well.
They got it done last night.
Well, they got it done. But I mean, look at the last two games and what's happened in the last couple games. It's early in these games. I mean, you saw what happened in that, you know, the Pittsburgh game with Walker thinking it's a foul ball. That was a disaster. And then the first two innings of this game were a complete disaster. Like, you can only get away with that for, you know, so often.
Well, you might. Well, I guess you
might get away with it.
You could get away with it for a couple of games against the Pirates and maybe the Reds. But that's not going to hold up against the better teams around the National League.
No, it was amazing, though. It's like, I mean, you're sitting there questioning, you know, Dave Jous pitching to Winker, and then the Reds turn around, and it's like, no, we'll pitch to McNeil. And you're like, what
when you have the pitcher
right
on
now?
Deck.
And then they let McNeil steal second, and I think Darling said it the best. The league has never been smarter and more stupid at the same time.
Well, they have the infield in, and they just take second.
Just take second.
Did you hear? They were so funny on that.
Well, but then here's the thing, though, too. But here's the other thing, too, which drove me crazy, is you can see in the dugout that the pitcher band is coming up, right? And you can see that Jous, because he's got a hit. So Jous is talking to him in the dugout, like, God, this is what we're going to do. And clearly he's telling him, you're going to give yourself up. You're going to bunt. He doesn't even try to give himself. He tries to bunt for a hit.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
He wasn't giving. Listen, he almost got it. He hit the ball well.
No, I know.
Third.
But that's because he couldn't initially bunt, and then all of a sudden McNeil stole second. So now he can swing because you're not, you know what I mean? You're not worried about the double play. But still in that moment, I mean, it's not easy to bunt. So you let McNeil steal second, you take the double play out of it. It's just like it's mind-boggling sometimes watching some of these games.
Yes, baseball is very, very difficult to understand.
It's mind-boggling.
I will say this too, though.
Yeah.
Is when you look at the box score, and it's amazing. What do you think the Reds were with runners in scoring position last night? How many opportunities with runners in scoring position last night?
How many opportunities? How many at-bats with runners? I'm going to say they had 17.
No, they were 10 for 26.
26?
26.
That's a lot of opportunities to have with runners in scoring position.
The Yankees have had that in July. 10 for 26.
A lot of opportunities, Dave.
How much, by the way, and I knew it, I felt it at the time, and even more so last night, did you miss Gary Cohen when he was out for the weekend?
I missed him in the moment.
Right?
Yeah. And you could tell Keith missed him too doing those games. Like Gary Thorne is great, but he's not the Booth that we have is one of the best in baseball.
No. And I don't know how to say this without being mean, and it probably comes across as mean, but I'm just gonna say it. I remember Gary Thorne being better.
Well, yeah, but it's a different. He's working with someone new.
Well, I get it, but his energy was just dormant. Like it's
not great energy. Well, that's what happens. I mean, you see the team that he had been calling coming into the. He'll beat the life out of anybody.
Yeah, the Orioles are some kind of a treat.
Well, his best calls though were when the Yankees would play them, and Torres would keep hitting home runs, and he's like, another one. You're going to keep pitching to this guy.
I love.
You could just hear him.
They interject. How about when they're destroying the official scorer last night when he took second base? McNeil takes,
defensive indifference? Yeah.
That's just a guy that doesn't really understand the game of baseball even a little bit.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
I got a call from our assistant program director, John Winter, and he said, are you furious with me? And I was like, what are you talking about? Apparently, I butt-dialed him as I was walking the dogs, and they were acting up, and I guess I was screaming at them the exact time that I butt-dialed him, and he answered the phone, and he thought I was screaming at him. I guess he answers the phone, and I start screaming, what the hell is the matter with you? What is wrong with you, you moron? And it was the dogs.
This is DCR.
Can't talk down to them like that. They don't respond to that. They're smarter than that.
Well, I don't know about that. He ate a tree.
On 98.7... ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. The show, of course, is DCR with you on 98.7 ESPN. Come up at 8 o'clock, it's KJZ. And then Greeny, who thefted something from our show yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit later. Maybe when we do a little CMT. Chris, I really wasn't concerned, and now I have a bit of concern about Saquon Barkley and the start of the football season. Do you have that same worry after hearing what he had to say yesterday?
I don't have that worry because of what he had to say yesterday, Dave. I mean, he pretty much gave the company line. He didn't want to commit to anything. We know he's not going to be full go at the start of training camp, and he was non-committal about being available for week one. But that's what should happen at this point because it doesn't serve him or the Giants by coming out there and putting that hard deadline on when he'll return. That doesn't make sense. We know a lot of this is going to be based on how he feels and how that reconstructed knee responds. Now, I'll say this. He got injured in week two of last season. You would think that there would be enough lead time that he would be available at the start of this season. Now, I'm not going to say week one, but sometime early on. But the only thing is, man, you just never know how Saquon is going to respond to this. With athletes in general, they respond differently to having these types of injuries and coming back from them. Like I had a multi-ligament knee reconstruction coming out of college, and I was able to be available for training camp week one, but I'm a defensive lineman. Saquon Barkley is a running back. A lot of what makes him special is that he's an explosive athlete. I mean, you're talking about the ability to stop and start, to have the jump cuts, the change of direction. Like that's what makes Saquon Saquon. So that those types of movements put a lot of stress on that knee, and it's just a matter of how he responds as he tries to get himself into football shape. It's going to be interesting to see, but if I had to bet it one way or the other, I would bet that Saquon Barkley will be out there for week one for the Giants.
All right, I want to take a listen to what Saquon Barkley had to say. So let's do that, and then we'll react off of it. Here he is on his status right now.
I've been asked a lot. I guess that's the theme of the summer going to be when I'm going to be back. But no, I don't have an answer, to be honest. I'm not trying to lead it up to it and stuff like that or build something up. I don't have an answer. It's a fun process, but it's a tough process at the same time. So just got to continue to listen to my body, listen to the trainers, listen to the coaches, and just take it day by day.
Is it at least safe to say, I mean, day one, you're not going to be able to go full go, right?
I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see, right?
How about week one? Do you feel like you'll be ready to play then?
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Just taking it day by day, and just listen to my body. And whenever I'm able to get out there, make sure that I'm 110%, not just for, the safety and healthy of myself, my well-being, but just so I can go out there and compete at a high level and show the world who Saquon is.
Well, this is time for now. Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I got to be honest. I mean, a year? I mean, it'd be a full year. I guess it'd be 51 weeks. I'm expecting Saquon Barkley at a very high level, Rick, in week one of the season. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's my expectation right now.
Well, your expectation is that because you've seen it done. I mean, Adrian Peterson did it and everything else.
Did it in 8 months.
Different. Yeah, but everyone's different, though. And don't forget, I mean, he had a surgery on October 30th. And he didn't get the surgery right away. It took a while
to wait for the swelling to go down.
Right?
Yeah. So October 30th. And again, I think people feel like he should be back in week one because you see what kind of physical specimen he is. And, posting videos of him working out and cutting and his, say quads and everything else. But the reality with him is you picked up his fifth-year option, but, I mean, he's also looking at his long-term future. And, you heard him with the Bitcoin and generational wealth. That's obviously something that's on his mind. So the last thing he wants to do is get, try to appease people by coming back as soon as he can and then re-injuring himself. Because he hasn't stayed healthy the last couple of years. His first year was amazing.
First year, phenomenal. Second year, injured. Third year, gruesome
most of the
injury
season.
Early on.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years, he's missed 17 games. I mean, that's not, with your second overall pick, that's not something that's great. And the longevity of running backs is already something that we know isn't great.
But this is the time you're supposed to produce. Like, the expectation is maybe year 7, 8, 9, you're not the same running back, or maybe you're not even with the team anymore. But years 2, 3, 4, you're absolutely dominant. And we have never gotten that from him.
No, his first year we saw dominant.
1 year!
No, listen, you're not wrong. But in his mind, though, as much as you as a fan want to see him push through this and get back as soon as humanly possible, he's also thinking about his longevity moving forward. And if he has to, take it a little bit slower than people would like, and he comes back, week three instead of right out of the gate in week one, because, mentally he feels better about his knee in that situation, then that's what it's going to be. I don't think he's in any rush. Like, he's going to come back when his knee feels like he said 110%.
I understand that, but the Giants need to win games this year. There is no, push it to next year. And I get you don't want to rush him back, but, I go back to my statement. They need to win games, and they need to win games right off the bat this season. You can't have another year where you're 1-4 and, second half of the season becomes unimportant football. You need to win that Broncos game week one.
Yeah, Dave, I'm with you. I'm tired of the double-digit losses for the Giants. They've gone 4 consecutive seasons with double-digit losses. Something about that has to change, and based on what we've seen from this team and how they've constructed this roster, it's not going to change the way the Giants fans want it to without Saquon Barkley being a big contributor to what they're trying to do. So you're right. You want to see Saquon sooner rather than later, but the organization has made their position clear too. Our friend of the show, Dan Graziano, said yesterday on NFL Live that the Giants want to do right by Saquon long term. So they're not going to push him to be back. You know that Saquon's going to want to be back, but Ronnie Barnes and that medical staff, they're going to take a conservative approach with this. So I think that Giants fans have to understand, like, when we see Saquon, you can have confidence that this is going to be the Saquon Barkley that you saw in the 2 years prior when he's been healthy. This is not going to be a diminished version.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why you went out and signed Devontae Booker too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To afford yourself the opportunity to give him time. Because here's the thing about you, Dave, and I get what you're saying, because now as a fan, like, I feel the same way about my team. Like, I want them back. Like, it frustrates me that, Jacob DeGrom has always, you know, has something always going on and everything else. He's missing starts. But the reality is he comes back and he's not 100% and he doesn't produce. You're not going to give him any extra credit because he's playing hurt.
No.
You won't give him any extra credit. Or if, God forbid, he comes back in week one because you want him as a fan because we got to win that first game and he hurts himself again, all you'll talk about is how injury-prone this guy is. The people that advise Saquon Barkley are telling him to take his time. I can guarantee that.
I'm sure.
Guarantee it.
I'm sure that's true, and I'm not trying to be unfair to him. I don't know. I mean, this is a really important season for the Giants, and he's, if not the most important player on offense, he's probably second to Daniel Jones. And I think to have the ultimate success, he needs to be healthy, and he needs to produce a really big-time season.
Yeah, I don't even know. I wouldn't put him second most important.
No?
No, I would put Daniel Jones one. I would probably put offensive line / Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
As two. Yeah. The offensive line stinks. I don't care how good Saquon Barkley is. It's not going to matter.
Well, we've seen that in the past.
Okay, so
Whatever. We don't need to split hairs with that. He's very important. Is that fair to say?
No, you're right. He's very important. But, I mean, he's also thinking about, I mean, again, you guys didn't love the fact that he's talking about Bitcoin and everything else and creating generational wealth.
No,
well,
I didn't.
Part of creating generational wealth is sticking around for a long time. And rushing back from an ACL with meniscus damage, which is the big thing, is it's not the ACL. It's the meniscus damage, because that leads to cartilage damage, which leads to arthritis, Todd Gurley style. That's not what he wants.
You keep barking up that tree with Ty Gurley, don't you?
Well, I saw Gimpy. I mean, he was lipping all around.
Oh, you're taking shots at Todd Gurley.
Well, listen, I try to help out. I'm like, hey, man, I was going to give him some, you know, some doctors I know, and he try to fight me. That's fine.
No. You said, hey, Mr. Gurley, I'm Rick DiPietro. You might know me from my NHL fame. I have a doctor I might want to let you work with and introduce you to, and he now tried to fight you. I don't feel like I'm getting the whole story.
No, I may have. I mean, listen, I don't think I necessarily started the conversation the right way with the whole, you look like you're a little gimped up.
Oh.
Probably not the best.
And you were lubricated too, right?
Well lubricated.
Yeah, you were sauced up a little bit.
So you mocked him and then were surprised that he felt the way about it?
Yeah, but I said it in a nice, jokingly kind of cordial manner.
Did he find it to be a nice, jokingly cordial? No.
Clearly not.
No.
Not at all. No.
Obviously, he wanted to fight you.
Yeah, which probably would have lasted longer than the fight I actually saw that night. Because that was a quick one. But by that time, we were through dinner. So that was a couple bottles of wine. And then we were at the fight when in the back for a little bit. So by the time I saw him, I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah, so he probably hates you.
Oh, hate despises me.
Yeah,
despises me.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Let's go to Jim in Madison. Jim, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, morning, peeps. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
See what you did there. Good morning, Jim.
I want to talk about Saquon, but I also wanted to mention the idea from I think yesterday of Dave's luxury rest stop. That's a great idea, and you got to run with it. I mean, it, you know, exit 56, Dave's Restination is what I would call
it. Look what he does. Exit 56, the Lawrence Taylor exit off the highway. And
I don't know if you want any rest areas associated with Lawrence Taylor.
Why?
That's okay. Lawrence Taylor!
And Dave Rothenberg.
And Dave Rothenberg. Taylor!
Why not?
Yeah, I don't know if that's
don't
the best
you
thing.
Hear what he's... Jim is a bright man, an educated man. He calls up, he's like, you had a genius idea yesterday.
Well, I don't think anyone disagrees that the idea is great. I mean, it's essentially a Buffalo Wild Wings at a rest stop.
No. It's beyond that.
It's more inclusive than that, Rico.
Yes.
It's Vegas. Like, you're pulling off the highway going to a little Vegas. Okay.
Yeah, essentially, you get off the road and your life goes off the rails. That's
exactly
what happens
right.
at the Dave Rothenberg
I
rest
like
area.
That might be our slogan. Right?
Yeah, but it's like it's a detour that leads to, like, more, like, life issues.
Okay, and maybe on your way out, we have like a counseling center.
Where you try to pick up the pieces?
Right. You have
the
gas station
canceled.
While you pump your own gas, now someone will come out and be like, listen, Steve, you okay? You want to come in and sit down and talk?
You know, you're going to have someone come out and explain to your family why vacation is canceled. Oh, it's because Dad lost all your money at the casino in the rest area.
Oh,
and we can't
man.
Afford gas now.
It's going to be quite the rest area. That's going to be quite the rest area.
The Dave Rothenberg rest area.
Yeah, we have big plans.
The untucked rest area.
I don't know why you laugh. That's Straight Talk
aboard.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract.
And welcome
no
aboard.
Compromise. Stop that. DCR 98.70 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And How about this, Rick? You can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable network, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com. All right, let's continue with the Saquon conversation. 800-919-3776. And your thoughts about him saying, you know, I'm not sure about the start of this coming season. I'm telling you, if he's not ready week one, at least me, and maybe it's unfair, I will be very, very upset. I've been dead with the Giants for a couple of years. I'm alive, I'm raring to go, and anything outside of a real competitive season will send me off the deep end. 800-919-3776. Also, the 98.7 ESPN Beach Bash is back Friday, August the 20th. Bar A in Lake Como, New Jersey becomes, this is very clever, Bar K. Make your plans to head down to the Jersey Shore to join the Michael K. Show live from 2 to 6:30 p.m. with special musical guest the Pat Roddy Band. Tune into the K. Show today for two chances to score VIP access, all brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Samwell Pain Management, Calandra's Bakery, and Yingling Flight. You must be at least 21 years of age to enter.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
You guys are just rolling along, aren't they? Very functional, very quiet, very under the radar this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing right now.
It's beautiful.
We had the list yesterday, 20th. I'll take it. The next 3 years. New coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. New Jets, baby. Joe Douglas drafting well. Stout offensive line.
Feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Feels great.
Are you nervous, excited?
No, because this is how we always feel. This is the most optimistic we are.
What is
before the season starts?
Yeah. Before the season starts.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
How do you screw that up?
I don't know.
Not sure.
It's four letters.
Canty was, I mean, he was set up. He knew it. You could hear it in his voice.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
We actually had the
evidence that I was set up, though. Like, we had the card get placed on social media. Like, my guy, license plate guy, put it out there. Like, you could see the card. It had Lorenzo Carter with Clemson on it.
Yep. But you hear the defeat in Chris's voice. Like, you as he's saying Clemson, it's as if he's saying, I know he didn't go to Clemson, but I'll say Clemson regardless. Listen to this. You can hear it.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
Clemson.
Yeah, I took it down a notch, Dave. You're right.
Yeah. I mean,
I knew it was wrong. I knew it was the wrong thing to do.
And I'll defend you. But how do you spell Jets, J-E-T-E?
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
I don't know.
I don't know how you bounce back from that.
The Jete.
That's the Jetes, yeah.
The Jetes. Coached by Adam Gase.
He couldn't even coach that. Don't give him any credit.
So I'm going to let you choose your own adventure. You remember those books, Choose Your Own Adventure books?
I do.
Or you guys too young? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a list of the top skill position teams in the NFL based solely on skill position players, not inclusive of quarterback. Or we can get into Jeff Bezos is going to space later today. Let you guys choose.
Well, let's save space. Let's get into
save
I like
space.
Your lists. Yeah.
You like the list?
I love the lists.
Okay.
You're a big list guy, aren't you, Rick?
Big list guy.
I don't blame you for that. Who doesn't love a good list?
Who doesn't love a good list? Come on.
I absolutely agree. All right. So, we're ranking. This is ESPN.com. Each of the league's 32 teams by their skill position talent without the impact of the quarterback, offensive line, or scheme. Okay? You understand?
Understand.
Mm-hmm. All right. You guys have been sent the list. Full transparency. Have you looked?
I have not looked at the list.
Chris?
I have not looked at the list, Dave, because I knew you wanted to play the list game.
Okay.
This is what you do.
Okay. Are we playing the full game now, or we're just kind of peruse the list?
Oh, however you want to do it, Dave, but I know you like to go through the rundown and see if we can guess the top 10.
I'm willing to do that.
That's your thing.
It involves the music and all of it. I can do that.
I'm just glad you agree.
I'm not telling you what to do, Dave. I mean, you're the one that took us down this path. I want you to kind of cook the meal. You decide how we're going to do this.
Let's I'm just glad you didn't read the entire, like, the whole parameters, like, the entire paragraph of the list, like yesterday.
You know what? I want people to be informed and educated. I'm trying to drive the show they might not know what we're talking about, and I'm trying to give them the opportunity. And for you, with your snide, snotty comments all the time,
we're trying to keep up while they drive. I don't fall asleep listening to you.
I'm sick and tired of them. You know what? Then they stop at the Rothenberg rest area.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have the Dave Rothenberg rest area yet.
Well, we should. I would love a rest area to be named after me. I come up with this ingenious. How about once in a while, instead of beating me over the head with things I don't do well, you say, you know what? That topic was phenomenal, so much so that Greeny stole it for his show yesterday. Why not say that?
I think I did say that yesterday. I thought it was a great idea. How many times do I need to pat you on the back?
Every once in a while would be nice.
It was an excellent idea, Dave. Excellent
idea. I don't want you to mock me now.
I'm not mocking you. It was a great idea. The rest of the area did not fare well in the poll, though, unfortunately.
See where it lands. Which of these would you most like to have named in your honor? An airport, a restaurant dish, a mountain, or a rest area? If you're just joining us, this stemming from Dave Rothenberg saying he wants to have a rest area, literally a place that people pull off the highway to pee, named in his honor on the New Jersey Turnpike.
At least he gave you credit, though, Dave.
I give him credit for giving me credit. That was wonderful. But the problem is, you can't take a rest area and compare it with a mountain. Of course it's going to finish last compared to those things.
Yeah, but I don't like how we set it up, though. Like, I mean, we weren't like the
he
focus
took what I did and took it and didn't. It was just different what he did.
Yeah, but the way he described the rest area was where people just stopped to go pee. That's not what I mean. That's not your rest area.
No,
that's secondary. It's going to be a
plush bathroom. There's going to be, you can get a manicure, a pedicure, a massage. There's going to be a gambling center. There's going to be sports gambling, card gambling, Shake Shack, all of it. You name it.
It's a mall.
High class rest area.
So it's a mall. Essentially,
it's a
mall.
Where do you split aces in the mall?
Well, gambling,
in the parking
of course.
Lot?
I mean, yeah, that's Vegas. I mean, so that's the holdup, though. Can we do that at this rest area?
Listen to me. I'm going to have a fill-up station, okay? I'm going to have some fast food. There'll be some quick pizza you can get in and out with, thin-crusted pizza, as well as thick-crusted pizza. It's all mapped out.
I find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you.
It's all mapped out.
I don't want some like willy-nilly pizza place. I want legit places here. I mean, if you can have Shake Shack, we have to have a legit pizza place.
You think I wouldn't have legit pizza?
I don't know with you. I mean, yeah, you could cut corners because you're more focused
on just pizza gambling. We might have, you know what? At the Rothenberg Rest Area, the RRA, we might actually have the all-you-can-eat-until-you-throw-up Rick DiPietro buffet.
Yeah, I don't know about buffets now in the current climate. I'm not sure how buffets are doing.
No?
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I don't think buffets are... I don't know if that's a thing anymore.
And you can also have your food brought to you at the tables.
Or the Lazy Boy.
Or the Lazy Boy. As you watch on multiple big screen televisions.
You got to have the best wings, too. I mean, if we're going to have sports on television, we got to have the best wings.
Oh, we're bringing in the best of chefs.
That's important. The food is important. We can't.
And here's the beauty, because you're probably be at the commencing of a long journey. You leave your car for an hour, oil change, lube up, gas, all of it.
So a gas station. Okay, yeah. That seems in a rest area. That seems
no.
A necessity.
But you can't stop at a rest area now and get a quick oil change. That doesn't exist.
Probably stop at a gas station on the rest area and get an oil change. I don't know how quick it's going to be.
Right, but at hours, it's going to be quick. It's going to be 15 minutes. In and out, oil change, while you eat and gamble. And
but
then
do you really
want to
be in and out if you're going to the RRA? I mean, isn't the point to spend a little more time there than you would a typical rest area?
It's all been
worked
out right
now. I'm looking for excuses. Yeah, I want the whole deal.
Or take an hour. Take two for the oil
change.
Whatever
you want.
Who cares?
Detail it. I mean, retint the window. I want all of it. I'm hanging out.
Maybe you spend time in the spa.
No, of course. Of course you have a long ride.
Maybe you spend time in the spa.
I think you have to. I mean, a long ride, you're going to need a little bit of a back
That's
rub.
Right. Lower back has some knots in it. Not anymore.
Get out the knots. Have some garlic knots. A little pizza.
That's right. It's going to have it all.
I think we need to make this happen.
I think so as well.
We just got to find the right spot. I have to look up
New Jersey rest areas and see which one, in fact, we're going to take over.
Why does that
feel
New Jersey?
The RRA is going to ruin a lot of happy homes.
Why can't we do a Connecticut rest area?
Do they have rest areas in Connecticut?
Yes.
They do?
Yes, there's rest areas in Connecticut.
Named rest areas.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I don't know if they're named.
Like, all right, so I don't think we take over for the Vince Lombardi.
He is bigger than the rest area in Connecticut.
How about this? Maybe we'll find
some remote place to put it.
I have it. So the Vince Lombardi rest area, we're not taking that over, right? It's a Vince Lombardi. The Thomas Edison rest area, it's Thomas Edison. The Alexander Hamilton service area, we're not taking that. Here we go. The Joyce Kilmer service area.
There you go.
Who's Joyce Kilmer?
That's the one, Dave.
Or
that is the one.
Or the Molly Pitcher service area. That can be ours.
I think either one of those work, Dave.
John Fenwick service area? I don't know who that is.
Joyce Kilmer was an American writer and poet.
Yeah. The Richard Stockton service area?
Yeah, no. You're putting us in a tough spot here. Just naming names and us not knowing. I mean,
well, exactly. That's the point. If you're not familiar with the person, are they really deserving of their own rest area when I have a vision? I'm not taking it from Lombardi. Edison, he seemed to have a lot of important things that he did. I don't want his or Alexander Hamilton's or Grover Cleveland or Woodrow Wilson, even James Fenimore Cooper. But you're telling me I can't take over the Montville rest area?
I think we petition. I think there's a chance. Listen,
the
Molly
Pitcher service area?
I can't guarantee it, but I think we have a shot.
I think we have a tremendous shot. All right. We'll get back to the sports in just a moment. It is now time for a little CMT.
Two cuddles.
Tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
All right, here we go, fellas. A little Tuesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash. Going to start with a little baseball. Going to go baseball to start this off before we get into some NFL and some NBA. We talked about it earlier in the show. Mets, Edwin Diaz, third straight game with a blown save. We got starting pitching issues. We got some issues at shortstop defensively with Guillorme, who's usually shorthanded. So I'm going to ask you now, Dave, right around the corner. Owner was talking about it, aggravating people last night with the trade deadline. Now, what do you address? Bullpen, starter, position player. Bullpen, starter, position player.
I feel like this is a tad lazy because you did the same question, I think, last week.
But your answer might change now.
Bullpen, starter, position. All right. I'm going to marry the starter. And that's like long, long-term, 58 years kind of marriage. Because now I don't know about DeGrom. I don't know what's going to happen with Syndergaard. And Stroman has not been as good of late. Neither has Walker. So I'm going to marry the starter. I stand by it, especially with the way Diaz has been lately. I'm going to cuddle the bullpen, and a real cuddle, like an embrace, a cuddle, and I don't know where that leads to. And I think they have enough. I think if you add to the rotation and to the pen, I can trash the position player, and that's what I will do.
Yeah, I agree across the board. I don't know how much time we need to spend on explanations. I'm with Dave on this one. Marry starting pitching, cuddle the bullpen, trash position player.
All right, here we go. Moving forward, Saquon Barkley. Dave wants him back week one. When do you expect Saquon Barkley back, or do you want him? Obviously, not when you want him. You expect him back in the preseason, week one, or sometime after week one?
I am going to trash the preseason. I mean, running backs that aren't coming off of reconstructive surgery on their knees don't play in the preseason. So I don't expect we'll see Saquon then. I will marry week one. I will cuddle sometime other than week one. I just feel like the Giants are being conservative with what they're putting out there in the media. But I fully expect that Saquon will be healthy enough to be a key contributor at the start of the regular season.
Well, it's apparent that these are not great CMTs to begin this week, because I agree across the board. You won't see him in the preseason. You'll see him week one, and I will marry week one. I will cuddle post week one, and I will trash the preseason.
You know what? I'm done. RJ, shut the music off. I'm done.
No,
I'm not doing
no, 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 no.
I'm done.
Don't pack up your toys and go home. Just be better.
No, I'm done.
Be better. We're challenging you.
I'm done.
No.
I'm done.
No.
In the list. I'm done. It's over.
No.
No more CMT. You killed it. It's over.
Don't be a baby. Come
no,
on.
It's over.
Come on. Pretend it's a buffet.
It's
eat your
over.
Face off. Eat. Eat.
Over.
Eat.
I'm done.
Nope.
Keep going
That's
until
it.
He throws
Let's
up.
Let's go. That's right.
Oh,
keep
no
going until someone throws up, which will happen if you ask another one of those in question three.
I'm not asking another question.
Come on.
You guys, make up your own questions for CMT. I'm not joking.
This
I'm not doing another question.
Come on.
I'm not
being a baby.
The questions.
I'm not doing it. Nope. I'm not doing
you
it.
Have
nope.
You,
you
have to.
Nope.
You are such
to.
A baby.
Nope. Done. No more CMT. Cuddle, Mary Trash has been killed. Courtesy
it has
of
not been killed.
The guy who does zero extra work, zero, has killed CMT. Dead.
Well, he's got the big Untucked podcast. I mean, he's got
dead.
No, no,
going.
No. And here we go. Look, I've been awful, so let me deflect the Rick DiPietro mantra.
I'll take the bullet for that question. That's not a soul me made up that question. I can promise you that.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll take the bullet
somebody
for
else under the
but
bus.
CMT is dead. You killed it. It's over.
Question three.
Find a new segment for Tuesdays that you can actually work on and do some. Like, I'm not going to sit around and have people ask me question segment.
You
put together a segment.
You know what?
How about we try that?
Forget it. If Wednesdays are off too. Then forget about Stump Rothenberg. You wouldn't let me quit that, and you can't quit this. So be better.
I quit. Done. Watch me. Quit. Done.
Guest on DCRP via the Goodyear Hotline, and you could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Just visit Progressive.com. All right, let's go. Question three.
Bucks, Suns, game six tonight. Bucks win the series tonight, win the NBA championship. Bucks win in seven, or the Suns win in seven. Cuddle, marry, trash.
All right, I'm gonna marry Bucks win tonight and end the NBA season. I'm going to cuddle Suns win in seven. And I'm going to trash Bucks win in seven. If the Bucks want to win this series, it ends tonight. Otherwise, Phoenix will win in seven.
I will agree with Dave, although I will say I wouldn't dismiss the Bucks winning in game seven in Phoenix. They've already shown that they're capable of winning it by doing that in game five. And the Phoenix Suns, they haven't lost this many games in a row at any point this season. So, I mean, to say that they're going to lose four in a row, I would expect to see a desperate Suns team tonight, and they probably find a way to try to get that done. But I still think the Bucks win this series based
yeah,
on
what,
some of the mismatches
question.
That we've had.
Beautiful question. You really got yourself right back on track.
Nah, damage is done. All right, moving ahead. Here we go. So, Jeff Bezos is flying to space today. I'm not sure if you guys saw the story. The guy who initially bid and won the $28 million to fly up today.
Does he have some, other plans?
Oh, yeah. There's a scheduling conflict. He can't do it. Cannot do
how?
It.
How?
I have no idea.
What could he have that he's not going to go to space after spending, what do you say, $28
million?
$28 million.
Yeah.
Oh, in space.
So
I
he's
don't
not
understand.
Going. So he's not going. He's going to go
Does
on
he have an appointment?
I don't know what he has. Something more important than going to space, I guess.
How is that possible?
It isn't. He must have just chickened out. Like, so let's have someone go first, and then, you know, once everyone comes back safe, I'll go on the next one.
I wanted to go, but I can't because I'm seeing my chiropodist. So, you know what? You go.
Okay, here's what's crazy, though. So, they take the runner-up. So, I mean, this is for charity. They had the bidding, the $28 million. So, they're now taking the runner-up. The runner-up's not going. He's letting his 18-year-old son go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, how could you feel good about that?
I don't know if I'm sending my son up.
No, I'm not going.
Well, if your son wants to go.
I don't know. Maybe I try. It's the first time. I try. Win maybe I go first.
Horse in space!
So anyway, so that's going up today, right? So I'll ask you this. If you had the opportunity, would you fly to space, would you climb Mount Everest, or would you run with the Bulls?
Oh, God.
Ugh.
You know an adventure junkie? You've heard that phrase?
Yes, I have heard that phrase.
I am not that. So these three things you're giving me are terrifying, to say the least. Chris, it's your turn. You go ahead.
Okay, so this is fairly easy for me. I'm going to trash fly to space. I ain't lost nothing up there. And to take it a step further, I'm not getting on a plane that doesn't have a damn pilot. So I'm out on that one. I will marry climbing Mount Everest because guess what? If something goes wrong, if I don't feel right, I can turn my happy ass right back around and go down the mountain.
Now, hang on. Let me clarify this. Do you have to make it to the top of Everest, or can you not feel well and turn around and come back down?
No, you're climbing it. I mean, whatever you decide
to do. So you have to go all the way to the
top. Every climb doesn't make it to the top of Everest, Dave. Like, every time they go out, they don't always make it up there. Just saying. Well,
in this exercise, Rick, do I have to make it to the top, or can I say, you know what, I'm feeling lightheaded, I'm 18,000 feet, I'm turning around and coming back down?
No, you can't just pull. Like, you got to battle through it.
So you have to go all the way up to the top.
Oh, I can absolutely just pull out.
No, your Sherpa is dragging you up the mountain, if he has to.
Can I have oxygen?
You have to have oxygen, yeah. That's a prerequisite.
Oh, you
can't breathe up there.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't like my options, but I would marry Everest, and I will cuddle run with the bulls.
All right, I'm going to marry running with the bulls, and here's what I'm doing. The second those bulls are released, I'm climbing whatever building is the nearest to me, and I'm going as high up as I can, and I'm standing there until the bulls are out of eye shot.
I would love to see you get gored by a bull. Love it.
I know you would, and that's why you're a sick, sadistic.
I would probably come with you. I'm going to marry that myself just so I can trip you as you're trying to climb out.
You probably would. You'd feed me the bulls.
That's what you would do.
The bull would probably fall, break a leg, and you would say, oh, look at that, dinner, and I'll eat it all the way up. I will. Oh, God. I'm going to cuddle Mount Everest, but I don't think I would do well there, even a little bit. And then I'm going to trash space. You couldn't pay me enough money to take a flight up to space.
Win horse in space!
$28 million?
No.
I couldn't
no
take
way.
That $28 million, put it in your pocket. You wouldn't go on that?
Nope. I swear to you, zero chance.
What good is the $28 million if you don't make it back from space?
I would die. I would have.
Oh, listen, Branson made it back. Come on.
I'd have a panic attack.
His ship actually had a pilot.
It's only 62 miles. It's no big deal.
62 miles up.
No big deal.
No way. So what do? They go up, they sit there for a few minutes, and just come right back down?
I guess, yeah. Man, I guess the worst part is when you come back. Like, the coming back down is the sketchy part.
You're very sketchy. Yeah, that's awful. No, I don't even want to think about
it. All right, last one. Here we go. Yeah. In honor of Dave Rothenberg's rest area. I'm not putting mountain in here because that's ridiculous. Obviously, you're going to take the mountain. You get an airport, a rest area, or a restaurant dish named after you. What you taking?
A restaurant dish? That's a terrible one. All right, so.
They're not going to name the restaurant after you.
Well, why not?
Well, because it's someone else's restaurant.
So?
It's nice they name a dish after you. You can have the Dave Rothenberg.
Ugh. So an airport, a dish at a restaurant, or a rest stop.
I don't know why you're attacking Greeny. That was his choice.
Who's up here? It's me, right?
It's you. Yep.
All right, I'm going to be true to myself. I started this whole thing. I wanted the rest area. I know how to make the rest area. I want to be involved in the rest area. I'll marry the rest area.
That's just being stubborn.
It's not being stubborn.
You know you want to marry the airport. You wanted the airport.
Now you're telling me my next option is like Rothenberg Frances or the Rothenberg International Airport. I'll take the airport to cuddle. And I will, and what is a terrible option. I will trash the food.
Why are you taking shots at Greeny?
Because it's a bad job by him.
Well, Rick, I strongly disagree with Dave Rothenberg's take on this. One man's trash is another man's treasure. I will marry the restaurant dish, and here's why. I mean, of the options that you gave us, there's only one of these where somebody is truly happy. You're not happy when you're in the airport. You're really not happy when you're at a rest area, but you are happy when you sit down in a restaurant and you're having something to eat. The dish could be somebody's favorite meal, so I'll marry that. I will cuddle the airport because I just feel like that's more significant, and I will trash the rest area.
All right, there you go, boys. That is a Tuesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
What started out the final edition as trash ended as a Mary. Very well done with the last couple questions.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you lost all confidence with Edwin Diaz yet, or are you slowly progressing to that point?
I'm slowly progressing. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I mean, just all of a sudden now quit on him?
Well, I mean, you can go make a trade for a legitimate closer, and whoever's better can be the closer.
No, I know, but I mean, beginning of the season, the first half of the season, you can't erase what you saw in the first half of the season.
Of course not. He's been great, but he's been as bad the second half as he was great the first half.
Yeah, I mean, this is three in a row now, and he has the track record too, right? I mean, it's not like this is the first time we've seen this from Edwin Diaz. I'm going to choose to be optimistic about it, but he is the kind of guy where all of a sudden things go bad, really bad. Like, he loses the strike zone, he really loses the strike zone like this. And if all of a sudden now I have to hear that Francisco Lindor is his, emotional support on the field, and he's going to miss having him around, that doesn't make me feel great.
I don't know if you have this or not, and it might be irrational. Every time he's bad, you know what the first thing I say is? I hate you, Brody Van Wagenen. I'm so angry at you. What did you do this for? Like, every single time.
No, I mean, we said it at the time the deal was done. I mean, the deal was
terrible
made.
Terrible trade.
Yeah, it was not a great trade.
How many trades go down in any sport that the second they go down, you're like, this was an awful trade for this team? Not a lot, right?
No, not a lot, because usually they take some time, right? Like, usually it's like, okay, let's wait to see how this works out. It's going to take a couple years. But this was almost immediate. Because, I mean, how long had we spent talking about how we have no, I mean, there's no one in our farm system. We got to, develop players. And Kelnick was like going to be that guy. Right, like you were excited to see him, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, because Brody wanted to get Robinson Cano back to New York, you end up with Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz.
And now look at Cano. Cano, I mean, the best thing that happened is he's popped for PEDs again and can't play, and you don't have to pay him, and you bring in a Lindor. And now Diaz, who was good the first half, is back to his old tricks the second half of the season.
Yeah, when you need him the most. You're going to need him. I mean, that's the same conversation we're having about Chapman. Like, if you're going to get where you're going, you're going to need him.
Absolutely. He's got to be the answer.
And right now, maybe this is just a little blip where he's, confidence-wise, he's struggling a little bit and he snaps out of it. Because he was really good in the first half of the season. But I just think, I think the reason why you asked the question is because of what you've already seen from Edwin Diaz. Like, you already go in, like, we already went into the season not necessarily trusting Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
You change your mind.
Uh-huh.
And now we're back.
And he's making you change it back.
Mm-hmm.
Is exactly what he's doing. All right, so we heard it earlier. I'd like to play it again because I thought it was very entertaining. Standing in for Luis Rojas, Dave Jouse, and he was interesting in his post-game press conference last night. He's unfamiliar first with the Zoom press conference, but he became a little bit familiar with it last night.
I don't know anybody's name, by the way. That's okay, right?
Yep. We'll help you with that, Dave.
Oh, Harold!
Hi there. Congratulations.
It's the first time I've done one of these in like 5 months, and I had to get the translator for the 3 months in Dominican last year.
Well, welcome to the Zoom room, Dave.
Oh, Harold!
Oh, Harold!
I've seen you in ages, Harold.
See, I love it. I think it's great.
He sounds like your weird great uncle that you see every like
that you love, that you can't wait to see. That's the uncle you look forward to seeing.
No, I'm not saying he's not likable. I think he's tremendously likable. I just get nervous that this guy's running the team for a couple days.
Oh, Harold!
Yeah, I mean, you scratch your head a little bit when he made the decision to.
I mean, they were second and third guessing it last night with why is he pitching to Winker here, and the next batter was completely overmatched.
Yeah, Freeman.
I mean, it looked like he had no chance against Diaz.
No, he didn't. But again, I know what you're saying, and you're probably not wrong. But Luis Rojas is going to be out for the next two games. He did a little belly to belly, got suspended, standing up for his team. I get it. He was wrong. I mean, the ball was fair. But he's also the same guy that decided he wanted to pinch hit McCann, who ends up hitting a 2-run home run.
Which is a great decision, yeah.
Do you think they're in touch with Rojas? Because he was there, I guess, in a suite last night. You think they're in touch with him at all and he's helping, or this is all?
No, before the game. Yeah, I'm sure before the game they are.
But not during the game? They're not reaching out? There's no, like, buzzer system or anything?
No.
First is a lot of screens, seeing different Dopplers.
If there was a weather pattern, I'm sure they would have gotten in touch with Rojas, though.
Of course. They would have pulled him into that secret room.
Of course.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
Not with their dedicated meteorologist.
And we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
Yo, Harold!
Here's the other thing, though, too. I mean...
Oh, Harold.
To try to explain to people like that aren't Mets fans like how you feel in the moment watching one of those games. Like, Dave, you know how you feel. It's like, I mean... It's a roller coaster of emotions because it's like you almost feel like the wheels are starting to fall off. Like
you almost feel like they're always going to fall off too.
That's what it feels like. You know what I mean? It's like we have these conversations where it feels like this team is doing something special and all the adversity and they're fighting through injuries and everything else. And then last couple of games you're watching this happen and Diaz is blowing saves and it's four errors in the first two innings and you're blowing leads and it's like uh-oh, like what's happening right now? I thought something special was going to happen and I give them credit. They found a way. Last night again, to win a baseball game, but it is still the same team that probably should have been swept by the Pirates, right? Or would have been swept by the Pirates. And then I got to turn on Twitter. I got to look on Twitter. And I get you own the team and you want to engage the fan base.
Got to stop.
That's not the right way to engage this kind of this fan base.
It almost feels like you're trolling your own fan base, doesn't it?
I think he is.
But stop it.
I think he is trolling his fan
base. But it's not funny. It's not cute, and I think for the passionate fan, it makes the person who's fanatical about this team think that you don't care at the same level that they do, and you should.
Well, because what happens if it doesn't work out? That's my problem with it. If they don't win that game last night,
then people start to become angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, like I get it. You want to wait to get the best deal. That's not how a Mets fan's thinking right now. That's part of being a fan. It's being irrational. Like, we need help now. Like, that's what meant. Like, we need, let's get help now. I don't need, to look on Baseball Reference and have the Phillies with the best chance to win the division right now.
Which I find almost impossible. Like, you mentioned that before. Give that stat again, because I just find this nearly impossible to believe.
Well, no. So I told you before the game, I was looking through Twitter before the game, and Buster only retweeted it. And I actually had to go look up what he tweeted, because I was like, there's no way this can be right. So before the game, Buster Olney and Baseball Reference has this. The National League postseason odds. You had the Phillies at 45.5%, followed by the Braves at close to 26%, and then the Mets at 18%. And I was like, no way. The Mets have been, they've led the division the entire way. And they still lead the division. So then I went on it this morning to check it again, and since last night that win, they actually... It went from Phillies at 45, almost 46%, to now the Phillies have a 40% chance, almost 41, and the Mets are 25% to make the postseason.
That to me is completely perplexing.
Well, right now, Baseball Reference says the best, this is with 90% confidence, that their best record will be 88-73.
That their best record will be 88-73?
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense because the 88-73 doesn't even add up.
The right amount of games.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, that didn't even add up.
Now I question everything with this. This is like the Spo track from yesterday with.
Well, because the other ones are right. It has the Phillies at 90-72.
The Phillies are not winning 90 games.
That's what it has it at.
Well, it's wrong. It's crazy. I don't agree.
I'm just telling you percentages. That's I don't fine. Agree with it, but that's
I love percentages. I just don't agree with these percentages. I could disagree.
No, and I disagree with him. I don't agree with it because I know the Mets are going to make a move too, or multiple moves.
Multiple moves. You're going to add bullpen, you're going to add a starter, and maybe more.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.